Every single action that you have ever taken started as a thought. So when you change the way you think, you will change the way you act, and you will change the way you live. That is hyperconscious.
No matter what you're going through right now or ever have gone through, the only way your life changes is if you change first. That is what we are here to help you do.
A huge shout out to our friend and mentor, David Meltzer of the Playbook Podcast, for sponsoring this podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another very special, as always, episode of the Hyperconscious Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our latest episode where we talked about the five ways to be more consistent. Today, for episode number 389, we are going to talk about this. Are you as confident as you say you are?
So very early in Kevin and I's journey, when we first met, he opened up to me and said, like, everybody thinks I'm kind of like, for lack of better phrasing, a badass, super confident, tattoos, a fighter, lift heavy weight. And some of that is true, but on the inside, you felt like Clark Kent.
Yeah.
And I think that that is what a lot of people are doing. And so just to provide context, we have been very fortunate enough to have almost 250 members. I think we just surpassed 250 members in the Hyperconscious Nation, which we really appreciate. Awesome, amazing community. We love you guys. And there were certain questions that you entered if you joined that group. One of them was, how confident are you on from a scale of 0 to 10?
Yep.
And Kevin and I did an analysis in an effort to figure out who our new ICA is, who we're talking to, understand our listeners at a deeper level so we can better serve you. And what we realized is that the first question from 0 to 10, how confident are you? People were giving answers that were fairly high. But then the next question was about their fears and what they feel is holding them back. And I'll give you an example. One person said a 7 for confidence, but then said that their biggest fear was social situations. And in my consciousness, it's like, if you're a 7, social situations wouldn't bother you probably. So I think that what we realized is that a lot of people have either an inflated view of their own confidence level, or they're just not willing to say it publicly. Because there was one other person that said, I say that I'm a 7 outwardly, but inwardly I'm a 2.
Yeah. Yeah, I think... again, and this is the other thing too, I think to a degree confidence can be subjective, so maybe you don't know exactly where you are, maybe you don't know what a 7 is. I mean, there's a lot of things, but the vibe we got by going through these is the average number was probably
6.
A 6? Yeah, anywhere from 6 to 7. And the other thing is, like, I know a lot of these people. And again, this doesn't make them bad or any, we're not saying any of that, but I do see a trend that I think people claim to be more confident than they are. And this is the other thing too. Think about this. And this is an interest. I mean, it's going down a rabbit hole a little bit, but all the people on social media that post that certain booty pic with their leg up and their other leg tucked, like, they, right in that moment, they're portraying that they're more confident than they are.
Yeah.
Because they're, and again, I've done this too. If you look at my old pictures when I was a bodybuilder, now, I never Photoshopped. Alan knows I'm adamantly against that. I will never Photoshop anything. But one of the things I used to do is, like, I used to take 15 pictures and take the ones that, like, the light shine best off my abs. Like, I've done that. So I understand. I understand that. But a lot of the influencers that we see, they are dealing with the same thing. And they literally have, like, they have a certain way that they take every picture. Why? Because it looks the best there. Now, does that mean they're not confident? I don't know. Maybe they just know that works. But at the end of the day, like, there's something to that.
Right.
There's something to that. I'm not going to say it's that they're not confident. But I do think it, you could maybe say those two things correlate. But, and the other thing too is, like, it does take a certain level of confidence to say you're a 2.
Yeah.
Out of 10. So that's another thing too. But the goal of this, my intention for this episode for you guys, is to get you to figure out whether or not you're accurate with what you're saying, whether you're aware of your actual confidence level. And, you know, we're going to have an open and honest discussion and see where it goes. But I know for a long time, anybody who looked at me would have said I had a high level of confidence because I was in really good shape. I had money, tattoos, whatever it was. And that wasn't the case.
Plus, you portrayed that sort of facade a little bit too.
I'm sure I did.
You know, when you show up, and also you were in the gym. So you were confident in the gym. So,
yeah.
When you're around people, like, you seemed really confident to me in the gym, but then if you went to a different setting, like the bar or whatever.
I am confident. I'm very confident in the gym. I'm confident here.
Yeah.
Right? When we talk, this is one of my genius zones. Yeah, it's interesting.
So one of the intentions that I've set as well is, and I've realized this, I remember early on in Kevin's journey, you know, we talked a lot about self-belief and how he needed to build more self-confidence on his end of Drive to Five, and I needed to develop more humility. 100%, still true. But what I've also realized with coaching many clients who, you know, were on his end of Drive to Five is that when they do start to be consistent with my peak performance tracking and they do start to focus on their wins, they do start to get beyond what they ever thought was possible, all of a sudden you realize that they never really had to develop humility. So my girlfriend Emilia is very, very, very self-confident, and she focuses a lot of her time and energy on humility, and so do I, because I think we have a very strong natural confidence that came from, you know, not only being praised early on probably for our accomplishments, but also proving to ourselves over and over and over again that we were able to accomplish whatever we set our mind to. When you have evidence, it really compounds, and you're starting to see that now. A lot of my clients are starting to see that now. What I find interesting is that if you are out there and you're on the low end of Drive to Five, and if this episode gets you to realize, okay, maybe I am a two, that's okay. Let's live in the truth and let's start to focus on building confidence through evidence, keeping promises you make to yourself, building self-esteem, creating a system of success, getting momentum. But then when you start to really get up in the real true sevens, eights, nines, you're going to have one of the problems that I have, which is thinking that you might get an inflated view of self. In other words, I don't want your competence to be so much lower than your confidence. And that's something I'm guilty of. Like, I believe that I'm more competent at being on time than I really am. And so therefore I'm constantly late. That's just one example, right? So I remember when I first saw Brendon Burchard speak, I was under the impression that I was a great speaker. And yeah, maybe compared to certain people, but compared to Brendon, who's been doing this for multiple decades, it's not even close. And so I had a real gut check with that. So if you're out there right now and you don't have self-confidence, start there. Build confidence over time. But remember, you might not have had to develop humility, because if you're not confident, you're appearing humble to other people just because you're not confident, not because you've actually developed humility.
And on the other side, we said this the other day, like, think about somebody you know that's super arrogant. That doesn't mean they're confident.
I know.
It's
interesting.
All of this is probably a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
Humility in a lot of cases is a defense mechanism, because you're not... Like, people who can't take compliments, who struggle to take compliments, I shouldn't say can't. If you struggle to take a compliment, I would argue that you might not feel worthy of that compliment.
Right.
And you might not have the level of confidence that it requires to take that compliment. Right? Or if you are arrogant, it might be because that's a defense mechanism and you actually aren't that confident, but you shell up and portray that. Again,
Pufferfish.
Yeah. Yeah, not shell up.
Yeah.
If you're a bully and you're bullying somebody and you punch a bully in the face, a lot of times they don't bully you anymore. Why? Because they're not confident.
Right.
They're puffer fishing on somebody who they know is less confident.
Yeah.
But the second that shifts, they go, a lot of times they go running for the hills, because it's like, oh, I got challenged on what I thought I was and now I know I'm not.
If you were truly confident, why would you prey on someone weak?
You wouldn't have to.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to. I have one particular person in my consciousness. I won't name any names, but growing up, he always hung out with people much younger than him. And he was actually in my sister's grade. And early on, you know, it is what it is. He was kind of a bully. And it used to bother me a lot. And he used to pick on me. And I remember thinking to myself, like, it must make you feel real good to, like, be overpowering people 3 or 4 years younger than you. You know, those 3 or 4 years don't matter much now when we're 30. Right. But they used to matter quite a bit, especially, with, you know, when I didn't hit puberty till 50. but seriously, it's like... That's an interesting thing too. Just because someone is a pufferfish and they're constantly like portraying their confidence, maybe that's because deep down they're not really confident.
I think that's probably
a huge breakthrough.
And the other thing too is, like, everybody lacks confidence in some way, shape, or form. There's some arena where somebody doesn't feel confident.
Yeah.
And it's just that way. So, you know, if you don't feel confident in a lot of ways, number one, you're not alone. That's fine. That's part of it. And you can build it in. Like Alan said, like, where are you confident? I was not confident in this. Well, it wasn't the studio because we didn't have it yet, but I wasn't confident until we hit like 150 episodes.
Mm.
Like, it was real. Guys, I had never spoken publicly. I've never interviewed anybody before the show. I never wanted to be on camera. I never liked my voice. Like, all of those things I had to build in. And there's still days, like, I don't know, if I'm on a scale of 1 to 10, where am I on confidence? It depends.
I think there's a macro and a micro as well. Because in a certain moment, let's say you're super tired. Let's say you had a tough, you know, conversation with your intimate partner. Yeah. You might be low in that moment, but that doesn't mean you're low in general. Classic. Speaking of confidence, we've gone and messed up the backdrop. I'm confident that we messed up the backdrop. So here's the other thing. And I noticed this too. When I'm very tired and I'm not getting good sleep and I'm constantly outside my comfort zone, my confidence will sometimes suffer. And I'll start having these really weird negative thoughts. And it's very weird for me because it's like, whoa, like, why are you questioning that? Like, that's such a given for you normally. So I think being in a resourceful state is going to make you feel more confident, which is important. But the key here is competence and confidence. Like, is where you're confident actually a competence zone? So for example, a lot of people think they're a great snowboarder, and then I ask them to go to a double black diamond. And it's like you really realize really quickly, like, oh, interesting. And Kevin and I have gone to the gym with certain people, and this is nothing negative, but it is true. You think you're confident until you hang out with people that are way ahead of you in a given arena. And it's like, oh, like, this is what you guys do in the gym. And I've been on the other end of that when I work out with Nate or Matt or you. And it's like, oh, like, I'm in over my head. So understanding where you are is really important, because how do you make good decisions based on false data? If you want to be more confident in a given arena, you're going to have to grow in that arena, and that's going to require being around people who support you. But don't get around people also that put you down, because that's only going to hurt your self-esteem.
Well, and then the other thing too is, like, I think one of the reasons would you say I'm humble in the gym?
Yeah, definitely.
Right? There's a different level. I'm far more intense in the gym.
Yeah.
But I'm humble. I somebody asked me for a spot. I love helping, like, kids out. I'm a huge fan of that. Right. I think one of the reasons is I've always worked out with people similar to my level. And we always talk about my old coach Justin, who is a professional bodybuilder. This is all he does. He's jacked.
Oh yeah.
Like, and strong as hell.
Right.
Whenever I did my show, I was probably 24. It's a long time ago. Wow. I used to work out with him.
Yeah.
And he was the strongest, hardest working out person I ever worked out with, ever, to this day.
Right.
He does not, nobody's even close to the level that, but it was also, it wasn't too much of a stretch where it was like putting me down.
Right.
He believed in me. He really liked me. He supported me. I was like one of his favorite clients. Like,
see, what if he wasn't that way though?
It would have.
Right.
It would have. So that's the thing too. Like, if you're not confident, we'll use fitness. Let's not use fitness. Let's use podcasting. If you're not confident when it comes to podcasting, and I'm way more confident than you, which I probably am. I've been doing this a lot more and again. But a lot of it depends on me. A lot of it depends on, okay, cool. Let's get so aware that I know that when it comes to podcasting, I'm a 9 or a 10 in confidence. Mm. The person that I'm working with is a 2 or a 3. It's my job to drive them to 5.
Yeah.
And how do we drive them to 5? I have to go from 10 down to 5 with humility. Yeah. I have to show them how humble I am.
Right.
And I want to drive them up to 5 so they're in the middle.
Right.
A lot of this is going to depend on who you're pitching and catching with.
So how do people understand where they're really at? I remember we did an episode of Plus Minus Equal To.
Yep.
And I think that that helps. And I think the 5 buckets, we've done episodes on that, your association. So for you, how do you know where you're at on the 0 to 10? Because I always try to ask myself, like, where am I at? And we did this recently. I was like, you said I was a 7 because I got so intense. and you're probably right. But how do you know where you're at? Like, right now, where are you at 0 to 10 in terms of confidence?
I don't know. 8, 9?
Okay, so
on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of confidence.
Yeah.
In terms of a balance.
On the drive to 5, where are you?
Probably like a 6. I'm probably like a little over.
Right. So what's the benefit of being at 5? I think that's one of the things I want to make sure the listeners understand. Because it's like, okay, yeah, we're telling them, let's make sure your competence and your confidence are connected and not completely off. But why?
I think a couple of reasons. Number one, being at 5 not only benefits you, it benefits those around you. That's the other thing.
What's a tangible example of that?
If you're a 7, well, I mean, at the end of the day, and this isn't exactly the right reason for it, but people don't like you if your level of competence is way less than your level of understanding.
But I think that here's the interesting thing about that, and I think that's when you say that's not a good reason, I would argue a little bit against that because I think it is a good reason. Here's why. People say, I don't care what people think, but if you're trying to impact someone in a positive way, they have to like you.
Yeah.
That's the thing I've come to realize. I was with a client recently, and she got very upset with something that one of my favorite authors said, and she like won't learn from him anymore. And I said, be careful, because you can still learn from some, like picture a time where you said something off color. Picture some, you know, you can't look at one bad thing someone did and then never learn from them again. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I understand. Right. And so I think we have, it's called a liking bias or a not liking bias. We find it really difficult to learn from someone we don't like, which is why it's so important to make sure the people you're trying to help, you can build a relationship with them. But we also find it difficult to learn from people we don't like. Mm. And so I think being liked is not the goal, but it is important if the goal is to influence. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes total sense. I think the other reason too is if you're, especially if you're low on the drive to five and you get results, you're going to stop doing what made you humble, or you're going to stop doing what got you to five.
Right.
That's the other thing too. Like, again, we always say you're playing with a tool you've never played with before, right? You've just been given a chainsaw and you have no idea what to do with it.
Right.
You're going to make a few bad cuts and then you're going to say like, oh, this isn't, I don't like this. Like, this isn't what I thought it was.
And then you're going to go all the way back.
Exactly.
Down. Right.
Exactly. So it's almost like, think of it as a seesaw. Analogies are life. If you're at five, you're balanced.
Yeah.
Right? But if you really start to put weight on one side, you're going to be unbalanced constantly. 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 And you're always trying to figure out how to stay balanced. And I think everything, like your relationship will be better. You will be better because you'll prep for the stuff you should prep for. You'll be humble enough to say, oh, you know what? I was wrong. Like,
right.
I do think that when we talk about hyperconsciousness, at the end of the day, that's understanding at a moment's, like a snapshot. How do I feel right now? Why do I feel the way I feel? It's not Alan's fault the way I feel right now.
Hmm.
Alan has an ego. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe I'm just at a two and Alan's at a six.
Right.
That's a lot of contrast. If I was at a five and he was at a six, it wouldn't matter.
Right.
Right. So that's important. The other thing too. Like, you're going to be able to understand, empathize, communicate with, influence, motivate, inspire. You're going to be able to do all of that better. Five is truth.
Yeah.
Five is truth. And if you get there, number one, well, I keep saying number one, we're at like number 60. You're going to get more truth. You'll understand more of what actually is. It gets so deep.
Why is the truth so important? And I agree with you. I like to dig on this stuff because in my head, I think about like, okay, imagine the zeros, too much uncertainty. Now imagine the tens, too much certainty. So imagine the zero end of drive to five.
Yeah, but either both of those are certainty in quotations, really.
Well, it's almost like if you're on the low end, you have too much uncertainty to take action. If you're on the high end, you have so much certainty, you don't think you need to take action. It's a lack of action. I think it comes down to you will... I can think of countless examples where clients of mine built up confidence to the point where they had an opportunity that they never would have had otherwise, and they certainly never would have done it otherwise, and then they fell on their face because they didn't develop the competence to get there on their own. Here's the other thing that I want people to realize as well quickly. It's almost like, imagine you hire a coach who helps you believe in yourself every week. You start to elevate, get accountability, build self-confidence. You get beyond what you ever thought was possible. Now you forget that it was the coach that helped you do it, and you stop doing what got you there.
Mm.
You stop asking the questions. You stop thinking you need the coach. You stop needing help. When in reality, it was you and the coach working as a team the whole time. But when you start to identify, it's two things. You don't want to think the coach did it all, because they didn't. And that way you won't build self-confidence. If you think it was all the coach, then you're not going to build the self-esteem and self-confidence. If you think it was all you without the coach, you're also wrong.
Yeah.
And then when you're in over your head, like, let's say you got the confidence to do your first speech working with a coach. Then you decide not to hire the coach anymore because it's no longer worth the money. And then all of a sudden you get this new speech with 500 people and you don't get to ask the coach what they think and how to prepare properly. And then you get all that feedback at once. Yeah. And that's the thing. I remember my fitness show. Again, I thought I'd come in first. I came in fourth. The time when I was the most humble, when I had a posing coach, when I was sending Nate my check-ins constantly. It was the times when I didn't think I needed the help, when I didn't think I needed the feedback, when I didn't listen to you, Matt, or Nate, when I lost. And I think there's just so much downside to not living in the truth that I don't think we fully understand, and therefore we aren't willing to drive to five. Remember when Evan Carmichael said, when I'm like really, really, really happy, I'll like challenge myself and say like, you know, you're not that great. Mm. But then when he's really, really, really down, he focuses on like, you're actually pretty awesome at this, this, and this. I think we have to Miyagi ourselves a little bit and understand where we're at to get back to five.
I'm going
to
say something bold. I don't think you can be fully fulfilled unless you're in the truth.
Yeah.
Because I think of this, like how many people, you and I are guilty of this, of saying, when I get this, I'll be happy. The problem is you've never gotten to the truth of what will actually make you happy. It's not the money that's going to make you happy. It just isn't. Well, all money is a certainty or impact. Right? Or opportunity. Right. Like, it's a mask or something else.
It's a band-aid.
It is. And I think of, like, you know, and again, I don't know enough about this to talk professionally on it, but you see people like Robin Williams and Chester Bennington? The lead singer of
Linkin Park,
Anthony Bourdain. Like, you see these people who commit suicide. I wonder if it's that. If they got everything that they thought they wanted, but they didn't live in the truth. Like,
it didn't fix.
What if, you know, what if that wasn't the truth? And they got to the truth and realized like, oh no, I put everything into this. Now I'm known as one of the funniest people ever. Now I'm known as a rock star. Now I'm known as the guy who travels around.
But I'm still not happy.
And I'm still not happy.
And then they think they have no way out.
And I'm not saying that's the case.
Right.
Again, this is very explorative for us, but I know that's kind of what happened to me. I wasn't willing to live in the truth of I'm not confident, of I put all my validation in external things. If I don't have a hot girlfriend, I'm worthless. Like, if I don't have a lot of money in the bank, I'm worthless.
Yeah, man, powerful.
I have a feeling, and again, I'm not going to say this is a law, but it kind of makes sense. Like,
I feel like it is a law.
Oh, I'm not there yet. I'm going
to
do
with
some
the drive
study.
To five.
This drive to five is a law.
That's what I meant.
Oh yeah,
that's
yeah,
what I meant.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean the suicide thing.
Oh yeah, no, yeah,
I don't think that's a law.
I think it's too much feedback all at once creates trauma. If you think you're a 10 and then you go get all the evidence that you're not, it's almost like it's too big of a jump. Because when you're going from, I remember the, like, again, I'll use my show just because it's such a tangible example. Like, when I thought I would kill it, I was a little bit delusional. I understand that. I went not only did I not get first, I didn't even come close. And it was, like, really painful. It was like, holy shit, I was that delusional? Yeah. And I feel like that's the problem. If you're not living in your own truth, you're kind of suppressing the truth. And the suppression of self-expression leads to depression. I was on a check-in with Emilia last night, and I said this to her, and I think it's powerful. I said, babe, I honestly aspire to be stupidly truthful with her, for lack of better phrasing. Like, I will not, I tell the story about, like, Tucker pooped on the rug, and I didn't want her to get upset with anything because I knew she was having a hard night. And I was like, I can't not tell her because I don't want anything to be between us. And I'm convinced that you can only be as truthful with others as you are with yourself. Mm. And if you don't admit to yourself your own unique truth, how do you improve upon it? And on coaching calls, all we're really doing is helping our clients find the truth. If you think you're worse than you are, we're gonna build you up and make sure that's not true.
That's what a coach does.
That's what a coach does. It brings you to five.
I like to think of it like this. And I don't know. Would I be like more cocky if I never worked out with, if I didn't consistently work out with Matt? If I didn't work out with Justin, like, would I be more cocky?
On some subconscious level, maybe.
Probably. Right. Again, and I use the Muay Thai boxing, kickboxing analogy. Like, people come up to me all the time, and this is super important. This is like a great lesson. I'll literally have people come up to me in the gym, stop me in the middle of me hitting the bag and say like, yo, you are nasty. And I say like, I'm not. I look really good on the bag. Cool. There's levels to this game. Right. I say it all the time. Trust me, I've been to the Muay Thai gym. Trust me, I've grappled. I've wrestled. I've gotten my ass kicked. Like, I'm not that good.
Right.
But you don't know it if you're watching me because you've never lived in the truth.
Right.
The truth is, this isn't, a fight is not kicking a bag. Baseball is not bad in practice. The bag does not fight back. The truth is when you step into the ring or sparring with somebody and they're living in their truth too.
Yeah.
That's when it's like, oh shit. Trash just fell over. Like, oh, I have been living, I'm not living in the truth.
Right.
I'm living at this elevated
ego. You
want
to talk about all the feedback at once?
Trust me.
Getting knocked out.
I've never gotten knocked out, but I've come close.
Imagine going to a bar and assuming you were the toughest guy there, and then you ran into someone who was humble, appeared weak, and they train every day fighting.
Yeah.
And they don't need to show it off. And you try to fight that person while you're drunk, you're going to get your...
And that's the thing. You're going to get guess hurt. What? You're probably not the toughest person at the bar.
Exactly.
Like, there probably is somebody there who... is that way.
Right.
Like when we interview, we got to go because the camera's going to shut off. Yeah. But when we interview Julian.
Oh, yeah.
Julian is humble. Yeah. But when he puts on the boxing gloves, I don't remember what episode, 47, 40, whatever. It's way back there. Yeah. But when he puts on the boxing gloves, he is an assassin.
Yeah. Different person.
This is what he does for a living.
And we went from podcasting, which he had no confidence or competence.
And we did.
To that. And it was like, whoa.
And then he held mitts for us. Like, I was terrified because I know what you're capable. I know what your truth is, sir. I know what it is. All right. We got to go. So at the end of the day, guys, Alan and I are challenging you to figure out where you actually are. When you go to bed at night and nobody's around, you're not writing it down, how confident are you really? And are you betraying that? And are you owning that?
Right.
Are you living that way? Fire. Also, Hyperconscious Nation, www.hyperconsciouspodcast.com. It should be at the top. Alan and I are doing free 30-minute consultations. I'm doing for podcast. Alan's doing for Peak Performance Business. And we do it together because we love it. Free, no strings attached. Alan at thehyperconsciouspodcast.com, Kevin at thehyperconsciouspodcast.com, A Lazarus 88 on the gram, Never Quit Kid on the gram. Quickly.
Strong work.
Thanks.
Every Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, come and learn more about how to achieve your dreams. And we are getting people to connect in there. It's absolute fire. It's one of my favorite things. I love Mondays. We just went on a sale, Selling with Integrity, earlier today. Please join us. We're going to have Tori Aletto, hopefully on week 14 as well. So look forward to that. And yeah, live in the truth. Stop pretending. I'm not going to pretend I'm good at cars. I'm not going to pretend I'm good at cooking.
Good at cars.
I know where you're good, know where you're not, and work on where you're not if you want to, and stay humble.
Ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoyed, and we will talk to you on Sunday.
Talk to you soon.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, it would mean the world to us if you would share this with your friends.
And if you have any questions, please reach out to Kevin or myself. Our contact information is in the show notes, and we can't wait to hear from you.
Guys, we wouldn't be able to do this without you, so if you would kindly leave us a review on iTunes, that would help us make more people hyper conscious.